Are you a people pleaser? Pastor Dave Rolfe says that can get you into trouble.
We need to live lives of integrity. We need to stop being controlled and manipulated by others. For some of you, you were raised to please. Everything that you did was motivated by pleasing your parents and your grandparents, pleasing your teachers, pleasing your spouse, pleasing. Living that way is really unhealthy. And it also sets you up. If you're a people pleaser, man, they can pitch anything to you and you're going to buy it because you just don't want people to get disappointed.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my instrument I play, pick up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Discovering balanced living through the Word of God, this is The Balanced Word. We're in a series called Smarter Living, where Pastor Dave Rolfe is looking to the Proverbs to help us live smarter, balanced lives. I'm sure you can probably think of someone who will do or say just about anything to get you to do what they want. They try to manipulate or control us. Or maybe if you're honest, you've been doing that yourself. Today we'll see how to tell the difference between a flatterer and a friend, and be reminded that God is the best friend around. Here's Pastor Dave with his message on flattery and hypocrisy.
Some of the other clues that somebody in your life is a flatterer, scammer, rather than a friend, they flatter you too much. They just think that everything you do and every day it's like, wow, you look amazing today. I appreciate that sentiment, but it's you don't look amazing every day. And somebody who's always telling you that, you might want to wonder. You may look really silly today, and they're not going to tell you, and you'd really want to know. You need to look out for people who hate other people, because if they're bagging on other people to you, chances are they're going to be bagging to other people about you. It's just what some people do. It's the cheapest way to elevate yourself is by just putting down other people, gossiping about other people. I think you also need to look for hidden anger. Most of the time, people who are spending their life trying to scam people, trying to draw people in and seduce people, most of the time they're really unhappy underneath the surface, but they're afraid to show their anger. So what they show is a syrupy sweetness, often exhibited by God talking. I remember years ago at Calvary Costa Mesa, there was a pastor named Ken Ortiz, and he was telling me one time, he pointed out a couple of different people, and he goes, they have bottled up anger. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Those are like the sweetest people in the church. And he goes, you just watch. And sure enough, in each case, eventually it erupted. It's like they were holding it back. They were so sweet. They were like, oh, blessy, blessy. And then boom, something happens. And it's like, you know, a normal person honestly speaks normal. They don't speak Christianese all the time. They're not just all syrupy and, oh, you're so sweet. Praise Jesus. You know, that's not the way normal people communicate. That's not the way Jesus talked. That's not the way Paul talked. Where do we get this syrupy sweetness? Well, ultimately, a lot of times it's because you have bottled up hostility that you haven't got out yet. You need to watch out for people like that. And then anybody who's selling something, anybody who has an agenda, like, you know, if you do what they want you to do, they'll love you. But if you don't do what they want you to do, they're going to turn on you. They're selling something. If you won't agree with them on politics, if you won't agree with them on economics, if you won't agree with them on sports or business or anything else, it's like, look out, because their personal identity is wrapped up in that. And so if they say, I love this food, do you feel like you can't say, I don't? It's like the two guys, Anson and Justin, getting sick on seafood. I had told Jerry, you're going to tell that to the adults, and they're going to go, oh. But when you tell that to the kids over there, they're going to, ha, ha, ha. They're going to think it's the funniest thing in the world. But to me, I look at it and go, it serves people right for eating fish. Of course that's going to happen. I mean, yesterday today is Ann's birthday, by the way, and so yesterday we went out to lunch with her mom and her brother and her sister, And what I ate was disgusting Mexican food down at South of Nick's. But it's got enough spice to it, it's not going to make me sick. It can't, the spice in the food kills anything in it that's wrong. But see, be suspicious when people are like, they're trying to get something out of you. They want you to agree with them, and if you don't, they'll pout. That's a person who's manipulating you. Now, there are certainly people in our lives who are blatant salesmen. And those aren't the real dangerous people. The people who are obviously selling something because that's their job, that's, you know exactly what they're doing. You go into Costco, the DirecTV guy comes up and acts like he's happy to see you, and he wants you to buy DirecTV. If you tell him you already have DirecTV, he's so disappointed. He's like, never mind. But that's not offensive. Next week, if he gets fired and now he's knocking on your door trying to sell you solar electricity, he'll be just as passionate about that. But we all know it's just a scam. It's no big deal. Those aren't the kind of people who really do us damage. The most destructive people are the people who believe their own baloney, who are actually compulsive liars. They're pathologically and sincerely having everything that they are into how they can control you. Man, those are the people you got to look out for. Somebody who's a salesman, hey, it's no big deal. They're doing their job. Don't be offended. You don't have to buy their product. But somebody who's trying to sell you on whatever it is, and they're like so passionate about it that they think you're a bad person or a bad Christian or you don't love them, if you don't want what they're selling, those are the people you really have to look out for. See, and that's why in life you think, wow, people have an agenda. They want to seduce you. Well, it's easy to see it when it's a vacuum cleaner salesman. It's a lot harder to see it when it's some guy who acts so sweet, but he's going to be molesting kids. It's realizing that, man, there are some people out there who are harmlessly trying to sell. There are other people out there who are deviously and destructively trying to do great damage. And it's so important for us to really be aware of those. And just because they seem sincere does not mean they're not trying to scam you. Not at all. Now, by this time, you're probably just going, man, Dave, you're basically saying don't trust anyone. I feel like I'm going to become so jaded and so cynical, and you know, I'm going to be as cynical as Dave. I remember one time Pastor Chuck and I were doing Pastor's Perspective, and somebody called in and said, Pastor Chuck, I want to know, what do you think about Christians who are cynical? And he goes, Dave? You're about the most cynical person I know. What would you say? But that was kind of, I was kind of proud at the time. But then I realized that's not a good way to be. So when you're aware that there are people all around you trying to scam you, trying to sell you, trying to pitch you, how do you avoid cynicism? How do you avoid just being jaded? How do you avoid even being paranoid about this? Oh, everybody's, I'm taping up the camera hole on my computer, and I'm never going to click on anything on the internet again. I'm going to use an anonymizer, when I'm browsing the internet. I'm going to move to Idaho and stock up weapons because I'm, how do you avoid just going crazy with this stuff? It's really a pretty simple thing, and it really has to do with something that Solomon talks about a lot, and that is integrity. That is not being a phony. It's like, if we just decide, I'm not going to let people control me, our society is breeding duplicity. And that is a very unhealthy thing. If you want to, and I've said this plenty of times before, if you want to see someone as being mentally healthy, they are a person with integrity. That is, they are the same person in different circumstances. If they don't like something, they will tell you. If they like something, they will tell you. But they don't live their lives as people pleasers. Psychologically, as soon as you start living dual lives, you start to lose it. You don't even know which version of you is the real you. You become schizophrenic in a sense. That's what really most mental illness really is people trying to be split. People trying to, live in different worlds. The problem is our culture today, even in the church, makes it really easy and even encouraging. When you don't understand God's grace, you start playing games. But in our culture, and I really feel bad for kids who are growing up nowadays. When I was a kid, I'd do a lot of things that my mom never found out about. And I was really glad. And you know, sometimes I got the feeling she didn't really want to know. I remember one time I had a bunch of friends camping out in our backyard, and we're out there smoking. I'm like 12. And my mom goes, "David, come in the house." And I'm coming in the house, and I have a cigarette. I'm cupping it inside my jacket sleeve. And she's talking to me, like, smoke is starting to come out of the top of my jacket. She never said anything. You know, I went back outside going to my friends, "My mom is so dumb." But in actuality, I think parents just thought, you know, I don't want to know everything that my kids are doing. But today, with the technology, it's so easy for parents to spy on kids, for spouses to spy on their spouses and everything else, that it's like we live with this paranoia. But as a result, we have developed the technology that allows kids to have multiple personalities on the internet, where they have an account that their parent doesn't know about. And so your grandma's looking at your Facebook, and it's like, oh, how great, you're always saying happy birthday to everyone. And they don't see your Snapchat. They don't see what else you're doing. The biggest problem with that isn't that kids are getting in trouble. Kids have always got in trouble. The biggest problem with that is people are becoming more and more comfortable with having dual identities. And that goes for not just kids, but adults as well. The internet makes it possible to do that. If we're going to live with integrity, even though our society is breeding exactly the opposite, where you can pretend to be anybody, if we don't have integrity, we begin to disintegrate. We begin to fall apart. Emotionally, we become damaged. As long as we're healthy, as long as we're integrated, as long as the more honest we are and the more we just do what we believe in, then we're not a sucker for every scam that comes along. We're not somebody that's constantly worried because it's like, if I do this, then this person's going to be upset. If I do that, somebody else is going to be upset. Our healthy emotions come when we're like, you know what? I love these people, but I am not going to do something just because they want me to do it. I am not going to be scammed. I am not going to be manipulated. I'm going to do what I believe, whether they approve of it or not. That makes you immune to so many of these traps. Just a simple thing of, I'm just going to do what I think is right. I would rather have people any day do the thing that they believe is right, even if it's wrong, than to have people do the wrong thing or the right thing for the wrong reasons. We need to live lives of integrity. We need to stop being controlled and manipulated by others. For some of you, you were raised to please. Everything that you did was motivated by pleasing your parents and your grandparents, pleasing your teachers, pleasing your spouse, pleasing. Living that way is really unhealthy. And it also sets you up, if you're a people pleaser, man, they can pitch anything to you and you're going to buy it because you just don't want people to get disappointed. Guess what? Be disappointed. You don't control me. You don't own me. I love you. I listen to your perspective, but I need to make my own decisions. Ultimately, I need to do what I can do. As soon as I start living my life to please others, there's no end to that. And it's just not healthy emotionally. Sometimes we have to train ourselves to just go, I'm going to do what I really believe I'm supposed to do. I love, it's becoming one of my favorite passages of scripture in 1 Corinthians 4, where Paul says, because people were criticizing Paul a lot, and Paul said, I don't let other people judge me. And he said, in fact, I don't even judge myself. I will let God judge me. In the end, he's the only one that really has a right to judge us. Don't let other people judge you, because it makes you vulnerable to getting sucked into all sorts of scams, all sorts of other things that you really don't feel right about and you really don't want to do. Now, before we end this discussion, I have to say one more thing. All of this, what we've been talking about so far, is directed toward those people out there who are trying to scam us, right? And it's pretty easy for us to go, yep, I know people in my life. They're just shooting me baloney constantly. They're trying to get something from me. Yeah. But let's just, before we stop, let's just consider the fact that how much am I that guy? How much sometimes am I trying to scam people? How much of what I do is designed to manipulate, to get people to do what I want them to do? It's bad, it's dangerous, it's evil. Whether you're the one who's being scammed or whether you're the one who's doing the scamming, are you trying to control other people? You don't have the right to do that. And when you do that, you're damaging them and you will damage yourself. Let people be who they are. And you worry full-time job about taking responsibility for you. Don't be the manipulative person. Don't be that one who says, yeah, you know, that's just the way she is. And, you know, then people will end up, if they're healthy, they'll end up just discounting everything that you say because they know there's an agenda attached. Like people who every issue becomes a political issue, for instance. Like, not everything is a political issue. I remember years ago, and really when I quit advocating those Christian voter guides, was when one of the main things they had in the Christian voter guide was whether we should release the Panama Canal and give it back to the Panamanians. Now, I had an opinion on that. I personally kind of thought we should have kept it. But that's not a Christian issue. But, you know, that's just an issue, that's all. If we allow ourselves to think that we have a right to motivate and control others, then what we end up doing is we become this person who is destructive. Even for parents, and I've taught before about the verse in Proverbs that talks about training up a child in the way they should go. That's not training a child in the way you think they should go. It's training children to go their own personal way, to pursue their own path. And when you do that, when they're old, they won't be able to get away from it. They're going to remember what you said. They're going to know what you taught them. They're more than that going to see the example that you set for them. And it doesn't guarantee that they're going to be Christians, because they get to choose for themselves. That isn't a guarantee of, you know, if you do it right, man, your kid's going to... No. In the beginning, there were two people. God was their father, and they both chose to reject him. You can't do better than that. Everyone personally has their own decisions. And so for all of us, we just have to say, am I just trying to control and manipulate the people in my life, or do I want to encourage them to think for themselves, to make their own choices? Now, with kids, you obviously have to protect them and influence them, but your job as a parent is ultimately to bring them to the place where they know how to make their own choices. And there is nothing more rewarding than seeing your grown kids making good choices. But they're going to make a bunch of bad choices, and if you just react to their bad choices, they're going to quit telling you about them. So we have to do this for each other. It's ungodly to do otherwise. Now, just in conclusion, our time's up, but, you know, God is, when you talk about a flatterer or a friend, God is the best friend you have ever had. Because God will always tell you the truth, and he will always love you. He will love you when you don't love him. When you go against him, he still has a heart for you, wants to draw you into a better life. He looks at it and he knows, man, you're doing things. The truth is, man, God tells you the most important and radical truth that you could ever hear. You are a sinner. You are someone who consistently and pathologically does things that are bad for you. You continue to come short of God's best for you. And God's a good enough friend that he tells you that. But like any friend, when he tells you that, he also tells you, by the way, I sent my son to die for you so that you can be forgiven and that you can start life over. You can have a fresh start. That's amazing. I'm trying to be your friend. I really am. It doesn't help me. I don't want people to come to Jesus because I think they're going to put more in the offering. I don't get paid on commission anyhow. If a lot of people come or less people come, if a whole lot less people came to our church, my job would get easier. But here's the thing. I just want to tell you, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never trusted your life to him, received his forgiveness, you're a mess. I mean, you may be an awesome person. And I could sit here and flatter you and say, yeah, you will be one of the one of the sharpest people in hell someday. But I'm trying to be your friend, man. You are shooting yourself in the foot if you don't know Jesus. Now, a lot of us still shoot ourselves in the foot. We don't stop sinning when we become Christians. I'm not saying you're all messed up and I'm not and you should become like me. What I'm saying is, if you don't find somebody who believes in you enough, who loves you enough to actually forgive you, so much so that he would let his son die for you, then what are you counting on in life? What, you're carrying the burdens, and it gets worse because you know, as you get older, you outgrow some of your sins, but you take on more sins that are sometimes even more dastardly, like pride and stubbornness and things like that, that are worse than some of the sins you used to do that now you don't have the energy or opportunity to do anymore. Man, we're all messed up. And I'm telling you that as a friend because what Jesus offers is a fresh start. What he offers is everything you mess up, he will forgive. He will look at it and say, my son died for that. And you can start fresh. You can start over every minute of your life if you need to. But he won't force it on you because God is the least manipulative person in the universe. He could work things out so that you, and a lot of people have this vision of God that he's like moving all the pieces and just forcing you to do something. That's not God. He wants you to take responsibility for yourself. He loves you though, and he'll be honest with you. And I'm just trying to be honest with you. Why would you turn down the opportunity to be forgiven, to start fresh? If you've never done that, you've never really given your life to Jesus and received him, you can do it today. Your life can start over today by coming to the only one that you can absolutely trust. He doesn't want anything from you because he has everything. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me, but he loves us. And I've come to him and received his forgiveness. I screw up every day. And he forgives me every day. And if you don't have that assurance, man, this is where it starts. The only one that you know isn't scamming you isn't me, it's him.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now to wrap things up in prayer, here again is Pastor Dave.
Lord, thank you for the relentless love you have for us that will not manipulate us, that doesn't want to just turn us into your toadies. You just want to accept us as we are and forgive us completely. And you sent your son to die for us to prove that. For anybody here who, or somebody listening, who has never actually taken a clean start, has never really received or understood that you're not trying to control them. You're wanting to love them and forgive them. I pray that you'll help them to understand how simple this is. That they can start with trusting you who wants nothing from them and then begin to live life more aware that a lot of people out there have agendas that are going to destroy us. And we need to be, like Jesus said, wise as serpents and innocent as doves at the same time. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your unfailing, unflinching selflessness directed toward us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would this be described as a tough time for you? Next time on The Balanced Word, hear what the Proverbs have to say on the subject, which can really shape our perspective and help us navigate through the storms of life. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel and online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up, my voice.